A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, a black and white logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, the cover of a leather-bound book reads Stephen Crane's great novel of the Civil War, The Red Badge of Courage, a John Huston production, copyright 1951. The cover opens to an illustration of a battle. Credits appear, starring Audie Murphy as the youth, Bill Mauldin as the loud soldier, with Douglas Dick, Royal Dano, John Dierkes, Arthur Honeycutt, and Tim Durant. Screenplay by John Huston. Adaptation by Albert Band. Music by Bronislaw Kaper. Produced by Gottfried Reinhardt. Directed by John Huston. This film is described by Descriptive Video Service WGBH Boston. Described by Brian Gould. Read by Chloe Lehman. Major funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. The page turns to an illustration of Stephen Crane, a young man wearing a high collar and bow tie.
The Red Badge of Courage was written by Stephen Crane in 1894. From the moment it was published, it was accepted by critics and public alike as a classic story of war and of the boys and men who fought war. Stephen Crane wrote this book when he was a boy of 22. Its publication made him a man. His story is of a boy who, frightened, went into a battle and came out of it a man with courage. More than that, it is a story of many frightened boys who went into a great civil war and came out as a nation of united, strong, and free men. The narration you will hear spoken consists of quotes from the text of the book itself.
In a black and white film, Union troops march on a country road.
Spring, 1862. The bloody war between the states. Tales of great movements shook the land. Marches, sieges, conflicts. But for the untried army on the Rappahannock, war was simply a matter of waiting. Waiting and endless drilling.
Now, on the edge of a gentle river, troops march in small units over well-matted grass. They wear dark wool uniforms, their coats fastened to the collar with brass buttons, and dark caps with visors. The drilling soldiers crisscross the field with rifles resting on their shoulders and bayonets hanging from their belts. The troops halt, then relax and walk off in all directions. A bearded soldier walks with his buddies.
Well, I reckon I'll dig some worms and go fishing.
Yeah, the fish ain't fine.
I know it, but there's nothing else to do.
Now that my tent's got a plank floor as comfortable as home. All I need's a rocking chair, just like the setting rock.
Two soldiers wash clothes in the river.
How's things?
Just like they was yesterday and the day before. Like they'll be tomorrow, probably.
Well, now, I wouldn't be too sure about tomorrow if I was you.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
Sure you mean something. Come on, tell me like a good fella.
Can you keep it to yourself?
Of course I can.
Well, I know a fella that's got a brother that's an orderly up at division headquarters. And this fella's brother saw some orders last night. And them orders said this here army's going up the river, cut across, and come around in behind the reps.
Thunderation.
Yeah, you just wait. Tomorrow you're going to see the biggest battle you ever saw. Yeah, just wait.
The other soldier wades out of the river. Sporting a scruffy goatee, the young man clenches a cob pipe in his teeth. He hurries barefoot up a path to the camp.
Hey, Hunter! Hey! Hunter! The army's going to march. We're going up the river, cut across and come around in behind the ribs.
It's a lie, that's all it is, a thundering lie. I don't believe this darned old army's ever going to move.
Well, you can believe it or not, just as you like. I don't give a hang.
Well, I believe you, and I'll tell you why. I just finished laying a plank floor for my tent. I held off all winter because I figured the army was going to move. But come spring, I decided we was here for good. So I set about making that plank floor. I reckon that's all it took to get things moving.
What's up, Wilson?
No more drilling, Bill. It's all behind us. From now on, it's going to be out and out fighting.
Nah, what are you talking about?
The fella I know up at headquarters saw the orders. We're going up the river, cut across, and come around in behind them.
But what I don't understand is why we're going upriver instead of down, where the land's flat and cleared. Us and the reps could stand up to each other and have a proper fight. This way it's all hills. We'll do more climbing than we'll fight.
You just don't understand nothing, Bill Porter.
One soldier turns away.
there was a youthful private who was deeply troubled by the talk of his comrades. They were so sure of their courage.
Later in his tent, the youthful private pens a letter on Union stationery. 10 September 1862. Dear Pa, how are you? I am all right. My regiment is going into action. If word should come that I have fallen, break the news to Ma. As he writes, tears streak down his smooth cheeks and dribble across his lips. He turns the page over and continues. I hope my conduct on the battlefield will make you proud of your loving son. Tom Wilson, the soldier with the pipe, hurries into the tent.
Have you heard the news, Henry?
You mean about the battle?
Yeah, we're going up the river, cut across, and come around in behind them.
Oh, I guess not this story would turn out just like all them others did.
Not much you won't. You just wait till tomorrow. You're going to see fighting that's real out-and-out fighting.
What do you think, Jim?
An older soldier.
I can't believe they need to keep drilling us forever, and it's getting nigh on to that.
Jim?
Yeah?
How do you think the regiment will do?
Oh, they'll fight all right once they get into it.
We'll be on them like wildcats. They won't know what hit them.
Think any of the boys will run?
There may be a few of them run, but there's them kind in every regiment, especially when they first goes under fire. But the boys come a good stock, mostly. I figure they'll do better in some, worse than others.
We'll chew them up and spit them out in little pieces.
Did you ever think you might run too, Jim?
Well, I thought it might get too hot for Jim Conklin in some of them scrimmages. If a whole lot of the boys started to run, I suppose I'd start and run. If I once started to run, I'd run like the mischief, and no mistake. But if everybody was a-standing and a-fighting, I'd stand and fight. By Jiminy, I would. I'll bet on it.
What's the matter, Henry? You scared?
Scared? Me? Of course not. What a dumb fool question.
He wipes tears.
I am. I might.
At night, Henry, the youthful private, walks beside the moonlit river.
So they were at last going to fight. Tomorrow, perhaps, there would be a battle. And he would be in it. Was it possible that he would be a part of a great battle in a great war? In the darkness, he saw visions of a thousand-tongued fear. It would babble at his back and cause him to flee.
At the river, Henry levels his rifle.
Who goes there?
Me, Yank. Just me. Move back into the shadows, Yank. Unless you want one of them little red badges. I couldn't miss you standing there in the moonlight.
Are you a Reb?
That's right. I don't see much point in us sentries shooting each other. Especially when we ain't fighting no battle. So if you just get out of the moonlight, I'll be much obliged to you.
Thanks, Reb.
Now that's mighty quiet of you, Yank, to thank me. I take it most kindly. You're a right dumb good feller. So take care of yourself and don't go getting one of them little red badges pinned on you.
Daytime. Drilling troops crisscross the camp, divided into units of 16. The men march 4x4. A young lieutenant with a sloping blonde mustache and a crisp uniform stops his unit. He turns and faces his men. Bill Porter stands behind Tom Wilson.
No more drilling, he says. That's all behind us now.
Hold!
Now it's going to be out and out fighting, he says.
Huh?
Who says?
Why, Tom Wilson.
What Tom Wilson?
Arms that? Oh!
The one that knows everything in the world.
Oh, that Tom Wilson. You can all go...
Road!
We can all go up the river, across, and come around in behind them.
Just wait till we fall out, Bill Porter. I'll learn you something.
Private Wilson, step forward. Is that you talking ranks? Speak up!
Darn it all, Lieutenant.
Answer yes or no.
Yes, sir.
Private Wilson, 6 hours extra duty. All back. Arms at 4, 2, dismiss!
I want a word with you, Porter.
Henry walks away with Jim.
All we ever do is drill. I'm getting mighty sick of it. Thunder, I joined up to fight. I'm gonna smell gun smoke for once. What are these here guns for anyway? To shoot or to drill with? Might as well be broomsticks.
Oh, we'll get our marching orders one of these days, and I reckon when that day comes, it'll be soon enough.
Not for me, it won't.
Wish I was as full of fight as some of you fellas. Guess I just ain't high-spirited enough to be a good soldier.
Hey, fellas! Tom Wilson and Bill Porter are going to have a fist fight!
They circle around Tom Wilson, the private with the goatee, and Porter, the bearded soldier.
Give it to him, Wilson!
Looks to me like they're scared of each other.
I'm on the action. What is this, a fist fight or a round dance?
Can I have the next ball?
Come on, let's see something.
The fighters continue to circle each other, fists in the air. Mounted soldiers ride into the camp.
Grab your knapsacks! We're marching!
Soldiers toss their caps into the air and disperse. Henry lags behind.
He felt alone in space. No one else seemed to be wrestling with such a terrific personal problem. He was a mental outcast.
Now, four drummers march ahead of flutes and color bearers. The color bearers hold aloft fringed flags which ruffle in the breeze above their heads. The regiment marches four abreast, led by three mounted officers, the band and the flag bearers. Steadily, they wind through hilly countryside on a dirt road. Horses pull a pair of covered army wagons. In the ranks, Tom Wilson nods to the men around him.
Well, what did I tell you? Are we going up the river or ain't we? Who was right, huh?
Go on, answer me, you fellas who was doing all that laughing.
You was right, Wilson. Nobody can deny that.
I heard some officers talking, and they said we had the Rebs just about where we want them.
We're going to give them a darn good thumping, I bet. They're going to wish they'd stayed to home.
I hope this here gun shoots straight, that's all.
Wouldn't worry about that gun if I was you. I'd worry about how steady I was holding it.
Wished I had my dog along. First time I ever went hunting without my old dog.
I wonder what the name of this here battle's going to be.
Come, Dave! Oh! Cedric!
The troops relax beside a log cabin farm. Inside a fenced yard, a woman chases a soldier trying to escape with a piglet.
Go on, miss! Whack him! Hit him with your stick!
How can you tell which one is the pig, miss?
The pig's the cleanest, that's how.
The pig's better looking, too.
We'll change him, miss, the clean one for the one in uniform.
One soldier slaps his buddy on the back.
Boy, you say yes, miss, you're at the pig!
The soldier drops the piglet and dashes for the fence. The woman whacks him with a stick as he hops the top rail. Among the guffawing troops, Henry sits solemnly, then stands up and walks away. Tom Wilson watches him leave. Henry finds a large tree, sits down and leans back against its trunk. Clutching his rifle, he stares distantly and winces. Tom smokes his pipe and tromps through the grass to Henry's tree.
Henry?
What are you doing here?
Thank you.
You're getting blue, my boy. You're looking thunder and peaked. What the dickens is wrong with you?
Nothing.
Well, we're going after them now, Henry, and by the eternal thunders, we're going to lick them good. This time we're in for a big battle, and we got the best end of it, certain sure. Gee, rot, how we're going to thump them.
Oh, you're going to do great things, I suppose.
Great things?
Well, I don't know. Grandpappy fought with Washington. It's in my blood, I reckon. How do you know you won't run when the time comes?
Run? Me?
Well, plenty of good enough men have thought they was going to do great things before the fight, but when the time come, they skedaddle.
That's all true enough, I suppose, but I'm going to do my share of the fighting. The man that bets on my running is going to lose his money, that's all.
Shucks, you ain't the bravest man in the world, are you?
No, I ain't. I didn't say I was the bravest man in the world, either. I just said I was going to do my share of the fighting, that's what I said. And I am, too. Who are you, anyhow? You talked like you thought you was Napoleon Bonaparte or something.
But you needn't get mad about it.
Tom stomps away. Later, the regiment fords a river. Wearing grim expressions, the soldiers hold their rifles over their heads and slog through chest-deep current in full dress. The band trudges alongside them. One member balances a drum on his head. Flag bearers struggle through water up to their necks. One of them grips the base of a furled flag, keeping the stars and stripes above the water. Later, they march in a forest. An officer glances toward the distance as he leads the troops on their weary pace. In the ranks, Henry flinches. Up ahead, the men walk with their shoulders slumped and rifles pointed lazily downward. They eye the ground and step around an object. Splayed out in the middle of the path lies a bloodied corpse of a soldier, a rifle by his hand. Henry stops and gazes down at the corpse.
All right, young man, get back in the ranks and lay it behind.
Henry's gaze lingers. Slowly, officers lead their troops off of the road and into the forest. The men high-step through leafy undergrowth. A handful of soldiers sprint forward and kneel down. 100 yards ahead, the trees open to a sunny clearing. A mounted officer gallops to the front of the regiment.
Point of line here! Point of line here! Left front of the line by four! March!
Hundreds of soldiers drop to their knees, forming a thick line through the woods. The blonde lieutenant stands by his troops and twirls the end of his mustache. With a faraway gaze, he slips his hand between the buttons of his coat. On the ground, one soldier takes off his knapsack while another unsheaths his bayonet and scratches at the ground. Henry notices Jim Conklin kneel down, unsheath his bayonet, and dig with the others. Henry quickly follows suit. Side by side, the soldiers dig with their narrow 2-foot-long blades, working up a cloud of dust. While others dig furiously, Porter, the bearded soldier, stands by a tree.
I don't hold to laying down and shooting from behind a little hill. Wouldn't feel a bit proud doing it. Gonna do my fighting standing up.
Go ahead, fight any way you please.
What kind of a battle is this where fellas lay down to fight? I aim to do my fighting standing up or I ain't gonna fight at all.
You wanna get shot, that's your own business.
Well, I sure ain't gonna lay down before him, shot, and that's all there is to it.
A dozen men haul a fallen tree into position as the mounted officer returns.
Form your country and move on!
Hold him! Hold him!
The soldiers line up two by two. Jim Conklin rests his rifle on his shoulder. Tall, lean, and middle-aged, Jim walks at an easy pace. Henry falls into line beside him, Tom behind. Henry snarls.
What are they marching us out of here for? Can't stand this much longer. Don't see any point to it at all.
Me neither. I sure would like to know what's going on.
Jim. We're being reconnoitered around the center to keep the Rebs from coming too close. That's to develop them or something.
I'd rather do anything. Most people tramping around the country all day doing no good to anybody and just wearing your legs up.
So would I. It ain't right. I tell you, if anybody with any sense was
running. Oh, shut up, you darn little cuss, you little fool. You ain't had that there coat and them pants on for 6 months, yet you talk as if you was George Washington.
On the double!
Jim lowers his rifle and picks up his pace as the regiment jogs through the woods. Later, the troops walk down a grassy slope. As they reach a curve in the path, each man gazes ahead. Henry reaches the curve and stops. Down below, black smoke rises from a field pockmarked with blasted craters. The blonde lieutenant nudges him onward. Up ahead, the mounted officer stops the regiment.
Captain, the Rebs are on that hill over there, and we're going to try to push them off. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Anyway, take your positions on that road down there and hold it, whatever happens.
You'll stand, Colonel, sir. Expand it!
Henry mounts his bayonet on the end of his rifle and swallows hard. Henry turns back and looks uphill.
Here come our Lancers.
A cavalry troop crests the hill and charges past Henry and his regiment. Some of the galloping horsemen wave swords, others hold flags. Artillery explodes nearby. At the bottom of the hill, they gallop across a road, past a line of cannon and entrenched Union troops. Henry marches down the hill, staring soberly. Other soldiers follow, their grim gazes fixed on the scene below. The cavalry charge into the open field and into a thick wall of smoke. Henry's regiment marches down to the base of the hill and into a trench running alongside the road. A shattered wagon and other debris lie strewn before them. Another regiment marches further across the road and into the smoke-filled field. A shell explodes away from the troops. Henry's regiment kneels down in the trench. Other Union soldiers charge toward a wall of smoke. Ahead of them, artillery explodes in flashes of light and white smoke. In the trench, a soldier turns to Porter.
Thought you were gonna do your fight.
They cover their heads.
Do your fighting standing up.
Shut your dad burn mouth.
Nearby, Henry slides off his pack. His eyes remain fixed on the action in the field where Union troops advance against an unseen enemy. Artillery flashes in the smoke-filled sky. In the trench, Tom crawls on his hands and knees to Henry. They duck.
Henry, old boy, listen. It's my first and last battle. Something tells me it's my first and last battle. I'm a gone goose. I just know it. I want you to take this and send it to my folks. They give it to me last year when I turned 21.
He scrambles away. Henry looks at Tom's pocket watch and stuffs it into his coat. He turns back to the battle.
Looks like we're getting a good licking.
Through thickening smoke, Henry watches dozens of dark-clad Union troops fleeing back across the field. He swallows hard as the soldiers reach the road in front of him. An officer gallops into a retreating soldier and knocks him to the dirt. He brandishes his sword as other soldiers run past him.
Go back, Howard, go back!
Hit! Hit!
The fleeing soldiers run through the trench. Open-mouthed, Henry watches them dash through his regiment. Shells hit closer, spraying debris 50 feet into the air. The lieutenant paces in front of Henry's trench.
Coming. Hold your fire.
He steps down into the trench.
Hold your fire.
Henry looks over the lip of the trench. Two soldiers lie dead on the road in front of him. Across the field, through the thinning smoke, small figures of men clear a hilltop and descend into the field. Henry's eyes flit nervously as the opposing troops descend like a wave into the field. The mounted colonel returns.
Captain, all right, sir. Are you men mind me? We got to hold. Can you hear me? We got to hold.
With glazed eyes, Henry watches the Confederates charge through artillery explosions. Nearby, Jim Conklin calmly twirls a bandana and ties it around his neck.
Get ready.
The soldiers in the trench aim their rifles.
Hold your fire.
Tom glances sideways at Henry. The Confederates reach the road 50 feet away.
Fire!
The front line of Confederates drops to its knees and returns fire. In the trench, Tom shuts his eyes as his rifle goes off. Henry fires and rolls onto his side. Nearby, a soldier collapses in the trench. Working quickly, Henry bites the end off a paper cartridge and pours gunpowder into his rifle barrel. Down the line, a young soldier turns and runs. The blonde lieutenant shoves him down and grabs his rifle.
Come here.
He loads the gun.
Yeah, fire!
The lieutenant watches the young soldier take aim and shoot. Down the trench, men load their weapons and take aim. Henry, Tom, and Jim fire across the road at the thinning Confederate troops. Crouched against the wall of the trench, the men squint to aim. They blink as their hammers strike in bursts of black smoke. Across the road, under waving Confederate flags, men break ranks and run away. Gritting his teeth, Henry watches as all of the remaining Confederates turn and run back across the field into the smoke of artillery fire. A line of wounded men lie in their place. Henry trades a look with the soldier beside him, then watches the Confederate troops grow smaller in the distance.
much bigger through the powder smoke.
Bayonets as thick as a spiked iron fence.
I was so scared my feet was froze.
I never seen a man killed before.
Lost a pile of men, they did.
They notice a fallen Yankee.
We lost some, too.
Who's that?
Gosh, it's Tim Foster.
It was him.
From across the road, men limp toward the trench.
They're carrying in the hurt ribs.
I hope there won't be no more fighting till a week from Monday.
Less than a miss from a guess, them rebs got their bellies full.
We showed them some real fighting, all right.
So it was all over at last. The supreme trial had been passed. The red formidable difficulties of war had been vanquished.
Henry watches sunlight filter through the rising smoke.
He felt that he was a fine fellow. He saw himself even with those ideals which he had considered as far beyond him.
A steady line of wounded men walk from the battlefield behind Henry's trench. Some of the dusty men hold their injured arms. Others lean on each other. They limp past a soldier clinging to a tree trunk.
Ball shot off my knee, Jeff. Somebody come help me. Help me, somebody. I can't let go of this tree.
Two weary soldiers support him and they limp away.
Help me, somebody. The ball shot off
like a cow. Looking like a darn cow, it is.
Henry goes to him.
Here, let me find that bag for you.
Bleeding like a cow it is. Can't seem to stop her from bleeding.
Henry ties a handkerchief around the soldier's bloody shin, then helps him to his feet. Together, they limp out of the trench. A bearded soldier stops, drapes the wounded man's arm over his own shoulders, and helps him away.
Here they come again!
Henry dashes into the trench and crouches behind his rifle with the others. Through the smoky haze, the enemy charges over the hills. Tom's mouth drops open. Henry grits his teeth.
The youth stared. Surely he thought this impossible thing was not about to happen. He waited as if he expected the enemy to suddenly stop, apologize, and retire bowing. It was all a mistake.
Henry watches the enemy grow larger as they race across the debris-strewn field. He pulls back the hammer on his rifle. Shells explode around a sword-swinging horseman who leads the enemy charge. Suddenly, he crumples and falls from his saddle 20 feet from the trench. Smoke wafts over the Union troops as they fire and reload. Henry looks up to see the enemy racing across the road. They lower their bayonets and charge the trench. Henry bolts. Behind the lines, the lieutenant raises his sword at two fleeing soldiers. As Henry races across a field, shells explode to his left and right, spraying earth high over his head. Later, he runs through the woods. Henry lunges through the undergrowth, his knapsack and canteen jostling against his waist. He looks back, then stumbles and rolls onto the ground. He pulls his knapsack over his head and tosses it aside, then gets up and runs with wild, exhausted steps. Flailing his arms as he runs, Henry lurches down a path in a thicket. Henry dashes to the edge of a stream, but stops and jumps behind a tree. Mounted Union soldiers splash past him. Hidden behind a screen of leaves, Henry watches the soldiers gallop past, then runs in the opposite direction. Racing through the undergrowth, Henry reaches the edge of the stream and splashes into ankle-deep water. On the other side, he stumbles up the opposite bank and slows.
Taylor's rushing his men like everything. They'll be reaching the woods before we know it. We can't have that. They'll be worn out before they're committed. Oh, I'd give my shoulder straps for a fresh brigade.
Henry creeps closer.
Tompkins, go over and see Taylor. Tell him not to be in such an all-fired hurry. Tell him to stop his brigade on the edge of the woods. Tell him to detach a regiment. Say, I think the center will break unless we can give it some help.
and tell him to hurry up.
Yes, sir.
Henry spies a bearded Union general on a white horse.
We've held him, General. We repulsed the second charge.
Held him, have they? We'll wallop him now. We've got him sure. Don't. Right after Tompkins, see Taylor and tell him to go in.
Yes, sir.
The general salutes.
Colonel, you inform Winterside.
Yes, sir.
Alone, the mounted general waves his hat and prances in a circle. Henry leaves his hiding spot and slinks away from the clearing. Gripping his canteen strap, he walks with his head lowered.
The youth cringed as if discovered in a crime. So his regiment had won after all. His imbecile comrades had remained, and their very ignorance had brought them victory. He felt betrayed. He wondered what they would remark when later he appeared in camp. His mind heard howls of derision.
Later, Henry trudges onward, his arms hanging limply at his side. He trips on a branch lying in the grass, stumbles forward, then stops. Dazed, he watches as hundreds of wounded soldiers limp in a slow procession down a winding road. An officer with a bandaged leg rides in a makeshift sling carried by three men.
Don't jostle so, Johnson, you fool. You think my leg's made of iron? If you can't carry me decent, put me down. Let someone else do it. Say, make way there, can't you? Make way, Dickens. Take it all.
Who does he think he is, some lunkhead of a general?
We ain't sheep.
There's the kind that get the privileges. Small wounds, big talk.
You just wait. I know you. You ain't going to get by with your insults. I'll have you all court-martialed.
He regarded the wounded soldiers in an envious way. He conceived persons with torn bodies to be peculiarly happy. He wished that he, too, had a wound. A red badge of courage.
Walking among the wounded, a tall soldier wears a blanket like a cape and waves a branch like a baton. Glaring at some distant point, the soldier sneers as he sings.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His soul is marching on. John Brown.
Henry leans against a tree and watches the bedraggled men. One soldier shoves past a tattered man with a bloodied bandaged elbow. The tattered man wears a torn shirt over his scrawny frame and a rag around his head. Henry, still wearing his cap and his full dark uniform buttoned to the collar, falls in behind him.
Pretty good fight, Morning.
Henry avoids his gaze and the tattered man smiles to himself.
Darn me if I ever see fellas fight so. Laws, how they did fight. I know the boys would be all right once they got square at it. They ain't had no fair chance up to now. But this time they showed what they was. I know it'd turn out this way. You can't lick them boys. No, sir. They're fighters, A.B. Where you in, old boy?
Henry stops and the man stares back at him.
Where you hit?
Everyone hobbles to the side of the road, clearing a narrow path. A speeding six-horse wagon plows through them in the opposite direction. The wounded men limp back onto the road, but Henry waits, staring through the settling dust. A tall, blonde-haired soldier limps past. Henry grabs his arm.
Jim. Jim Conklin.
Jim looks at him, then gazes skyward as they walk.
Hello, Henry. Where you been? I thought maybe you got keeled over. There's been thunder to pay today. I was wondering about it. Good eel. You know, I was out there, and oh, what a circus. By Jiminy, I got shot. I got shot.
He grabs Henry and looks into his eyes.
I'll tell you what I'm scared of. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid I'll fall down. And then, you know, them darned artillery wagons. They like it's not to run over me. That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of.
You don't have to worry, Jim. I'll take care of you. I swear I will.
Sure? Will you, Henry?
Sure, Jim, sure.
I've always been a good friend to you, wasn't I, Henry? I've always been a pretty good fella. It ain't much to ask, is it? Just to pull me along out of the road. I'd do it for you, wouldn't I?
He keels over and Henry helps him up.
No. No.
He drops again. The tattered man limps over to help.
You better get him out of the road, partner. There's a bat be coming here. If he whoop down the road, he'd get run over for sure. Goner, anyhow, in about 5 minutes, you can see. We better get him out of the road.
Jim, come out of the road.
Jim pulls away and bolts as another battery charges up the road. The battery passes. Henry and the tattered man go after Jim.
Look where he's running.
Jim lurches up a grassy hill. Holding his gut, Jim struggles up the hill. Henry runs after him. Jim reaches the summit and stares off.
Jim.
Henry touches him.
No. No. Don't touch me. Leave me be. Can't you? For a minute?
Jim, what are you doing? What made you do this way?
No. No. Leave me be.
Jim's chest heaves as he stares into the distance. Henry looks from Jim to the tattered man who shakes his head. Jim teeters back and forth, then falls, brushing past Henry as he lands, face up in the grass. The tattered man limps closer and stares down at Jim's motionless body. Henry squeezes his eyes shut and sweat glistens from his boyish face. Henry's jaw tightens and his lips tremble. The tattered man swallows back tears and looks up at Henry.
You were regular Jim Dandy, weren't you? Regular Jim Dandy. I wonder where he got his strength from. I never seen a man do like that before. You were a regular Jim Dandy.
Later, Henry walks through the woods with his head hung low. Gripping his canteen strap, he takes heavy, aimless steps. He wipes his forehead with the grimy back of his hand, then stops and eases his lean frame onto a fallen log. Sitting hunched over, Henry glances up at the sound. Gritting his teeth, he hurls a stick into the branches. Henry's brow furrows as he looks around. He stands up. With his arms hung stiffly at his sides, Henry stalks into a clearing of tall grass. Lifting his grime-darkened face, Henry takes a few more steps, then stops and gazes in wonder. Under wafting smoke, dozens of dark uniformed soldiers race down a hill toward him. Clutching their rifles, the troops flee past Henry, headed for the woods behind him.
What's happening over there?
Henry grabs a bearded soldier. Desperately, the soldier wrestles away and swings his rifle into Henry's face. Henry falls, and the soldier bolts. Henry tries to push up from the ground, then collapses face down in the grass. At night, a portly soldier ambles through the woods, swinging a bright lantern. He discovers Henry and squats down. Henry rouses, clutching his forehead. The portly soldier helps Henry to his knees and holds the light to his face.
You're in a pretty bad fix, son. Well, I'm going your way. Come on, I'll give you a lift.
He walks with Henry.
What's your regiment? Volunteers? 304th, I'll bet you.
Maybe there ain't none of us left.
Oh, now, you'd be surprised at how many of you are still alive and kicking. Always seems like more of you is getting killed than there are.
I don't think we're going right.
Oh, you just stick with me now, and I'll find your regiment for you. Well, I wonder who won today, us or the Rebs. Reckon nobody knows, not even the general. Of course, they'll say we won a big victory. Got to keep the people's spirits up back home, especially the women folks. They might have to get discouraged, what with their husbands and their sons away. Hey, Corporal!
that the 304th down there?
Well, I just passed it in that clearing behind me.
You see, what did I tell you? I knew we was going right. By dad, I gave myself up for dead any number of times. There was so much shooting and hollering going on, you couldn't tell to save your soul which side you was on. It was the most mixed up thing you ever did see. Then when I saw what I did today, I said, there ain't no use worrying about yourself, old boy. Just turn your affairs over to the Lord and go on and do your duty. Then if you get killed, it's his concern. Anyway, dying's only dying. Supposing you don't hear the birds sing tomorrow or see the sun go down, it's going to happen anyway. And you know, son, that thought gave me peace of mind. By the way, you ought to write your folks a letter and tell them you ain't killed. There's your regiment down there. Now, goodbye and good luck, and may the good Lord watch out.
He pats Henry on the back, then ambles into the woods. Henry approaches a flickering campfire. A sentinel spots him in the moonlight.
Who goes there?
Henry steps closer.
Hello, Wilson.
Tom Wilson squints at him, then smiles.
Henry Fleming.
Yeah, me.
Well, old boy, by ginger, I'm glad to see you. I give you up for a goner. I thought you was dead, sure enough.
I've had an awful time. I've been all over, way over on the right. I got separated from the regiment. Terrible fighting over there. I got shot, too.
Got shot?
Yeah, I got shot in the head.
Poor old boy, why didn't you say so right off? Hold on a minute. I'll call a corporal.
Who are you talking to, Wilson? You're the darned sentinel.
Why, hello, Fleming. You here? I thought you was dead hours ago. Where was you?
Over on the right. I got separated.
Yeah, and he got shot in the head, and he's in a terrible fix. I ought to look after him right away.
All right, Wilson. Better take care of him.
Henry holds his head.
That hurts. It hurts like blazes. I'm bleeding all the way here, but it's stopped now, I guess. Terrible pain when I got hit. I must have been unconscious for a long time. When I come to, I thought I'd keel over from the hurt it gave me when I started walking. You know, I might have a bullet in the head. A wound like that's likely to be fatal.
Have a look at your head, Henry. Maybe it's a bad one.
He looks at the back of Henry's head.
Oh, you're mighty lucky, Henry. Ain't as bad as you feared. You've been grazed by a ball. It's raised a queer sort of a lump, just as if some fella had lammed you on the head with a club. Well, most of it is that in the morning you'll feel that a number 10 hat wouldn't fit you. You might get some other ailments, too. You can't never tell. Still, I don't much think so. It's just a dang good belt on the head and nothing more. I'll have you fixed up in just about a minute.
He ties a bandana around Henry's head.
You don't holler nor say nothing. I'm a blacksmith at taking care of ailing folks, and you never even squeaked. You're a brave one, Henry. Most men would have been in the hospital long ago.
Tom.
Yeah?
Jim Conklin's dead.
What? Jim Conklin's dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
You don't say. Jim Conklin. Poor cuss. Well, come on, Henry. I'll put you to bed and give you a night's sleep. Just lie down there and get some rest.
Henry sits on the ground. He grimaces as he rolls onto his side, then sits up.
Tom.
Yes, Henry?
Did the lieutenant or anyone say anything about me being missing?
No. Now, the regiment lost over half its men, and I thought, of course, they was all dead. But laws, they keep coming back till it seems, after all, we didn't lose but a few. They was scattered all over, meandering around in the woods and fighting with other regiments, just like you.
Oh. I brought your watch back.
Oh. Thanks.
Tom holds the pocket watch up to his ear and walks away. Henry pulls a dark wool blanket up around his shoulders and lies on the bare ground. Nearby, a flat-bottomed pot hangs over a small campfire. A soldier lies reading by the flickering firelight. Gently, he closes the small leather-bound book, then closes his eyes and mouths words to himself. Beside him, a striped flag hangs from a rod like a curtain. A sentinel stands on the other side, leaning on his rifle. With both hands around the rifle's muzzle, the sentinel sways drowsily. Other soldiers sleep on the ground, resting on bedrolls for pillows. The lieutenant sleeps sitting up against a tree trunk, his blonde hair matted to his head. The lieutenant's head bobs and he mumbles in his sleep. The lieutenant's head lolls gently to the side. He sleeps with his hands crossed around his sword and his cap set on his knee. All around the lieutenant, soldiers lie sleeping in their uniforms and under blankets. Beside a campfire, Henry lies on his back with Tom's patterned bandana tied around his forehead. His eyes wide open, he stares up at the sky.
He had performed his mistakes in the dark, so he was still a man.
In the morning, a few soldiers mill around campfires. Others lie resting in the early light. Tom dips two tin mugs into a hanging pot and hands one to Henry, still wearing the bandana. Tom stares into his steaming mug.
Well, Henry, what do you think the chances are? You think we'll wallop them?
Not if we don't do a lot better than we done yesterday. Where I was, over on the right, I'd say that we was getting a good pound.
You think so? I thought we handled them pretty rough.
Not at all. Why, man, you didn't see none of the fight.
Fun compared to what you saw, I guess. Well, maybe we are in for a licking.
Well, Wilson, what's got into you? Day before yesterday, you was going to lick the whole caboodle all by yourself.
Was I? Perhaps I was.
No, you wasn't either.
Oh, you needn't mind, Henry. I reckon I was a pretty big fool in those days.
You talk like it was years ago instead of day before yesterday.
Seems like years.
Company! Haul in!
Later, the blonde lieutenant leads the regiment on a march past fresh graves marked with crosses made of sticks. Henry, wearing the bandana in lieu of a hat, marches beside Tom.
We're always being twisted around like rats. Makes me sick. Nobody seems to know where we're going or why we're going. We've kicked around from pillar to post. Tell me, why was we marched into these here woods for? Except to give the Rebs a regular pot shot at us. Come in here and get our legs all tangled up in these cussed briars, and then we'll begin the fight, and the Rebs have an easy time with it.
Well, it'll turn out all right in the end, Henry.
Oh, the devil it will. You ask me, our generals are a bunch of lunkies.
Maybe you think you fit the whole battle by yourself yesterday, Fleming.
No, I don't think I fit the whole battle myself.
You boys, shut right up. There's no need wasting your breath in long-winded arguments about this, that, and the other. You've been squawking like a lot of old hands. No need for you to do anything but fight. Get plenty of that in about 10 minutes. I'll never see such gabbling jackass.
Lieutenant, there's your part of the battle line. Get on it quick and fight like everything. We may be attacked at any minute.
Come on, men. Up on your bellies against that bank.
They hurry into a wide trench about 5 feet high and take position among other regiments already there. Shells explode overhead. Smoke drifts over them as they peer across a field at the advancing enemy.
Fire!
Union cannons fire over the trench at the enemy, still far across the field. Explosions send earth and smoke high into the air. In the trench, Henry whirls around as a shell strikes a wagon drawn by 6 horses. A fellow soldier watches the wagon flip over and break apart.
Oh, but Daddy, here we are. Everybody fight. Blood and destruction.
The Union troops aim at the enemy 100 yards away and running hard. A shell explodes over the field.
Fire!
The Union's front line fires, then drops back to reload. A second line steps up. Led by saber-swinging officers, the Confederates drop to their knees and shoot back.
Fire!
In the trench, soldiers fall back and reload. The next line dashes up to the bank.
Fire!
A shell explodes in the trench. A soldier helps a wounded man away from the bank. Then Henry takes his place by Tom's side. Tom looks out into the smoky field.
Coming right at us. They'd better watch out. By Jiminy, if they keep on hitting at us, well, they just better watch out. That's all I say.
If they keep on hitting at us, they'll knock us all into the river.
Devil, they will!
In the field, enemy soldiers hold their position beside the flag bearer's large rebel flags. Suddenly, Henry climbs forward out of the trench. Crouched low, he dashes ahead, then aims and fires. Halfway to the enemy line, he crouches behind a wagon to reload. Tom follows him into the smoky field.
Fire!
Henry dashes into the open. Standing alone, he fires and reloads.
The youth was not conscious that he was erect upon his feet. He lost every sense but his hate. For the first time in his life, he was possessed by a great passion, the passion to destroy the enemy. He felt the power of an army in himself. He was a battle cry, a bullet, a sword.
The lieutenant yells out to Henry.
You fool! You infernal fool, don't you know enough to quit when there ain't nothing to shoot at? Get back in here!
Henry walks backwards toward the trench, watching the enemy retreat back across the smoky field. In the trench, fellow soldiers watch as Henry steps wearily down the embankment. The blond lieutenant takes his arm.
By heavens, if I had 10,000 wildcats like you, I could tear the stomach out of this war in less than a week. That's what I could do. By heavens, did you ever see such a wildcat in your life?
You all right, Henry? You feel all right? There ain't nothing the matter with you, is there, Henry?
Henry shakes his head no.
Get mad! That's all you got to do is to get mad. Get mad and get this war over in a hurry.
Thunder, I bet this army ain't got another regiment like us.
You bet. A woman, a dog, and a walnut tree. The more you beat them, the better they be.
I'm just a-dying of thirst.
Me too. Maybe there's a creek around here. Way I figure there ought to be one over in those woods.
Tom salutes the blonde lieutenant.
Lieutenant, sir, can me and Fleming go after some water? I think I know where there's a creek.
All right, but don't forget to come back.
Will you take my hand?
Tom and Henry hold out their rifles, and the men sling their canteen straps over the bayonets. Later at the creek, Henry sits on the bank while Tom stands knee-deep in the water, filling a canteen and washing his face. Through the brush, they spy the bearded Union general arriving on his white horse. He meets with his officers.
The enemy's forming over there for another charge. It'll be directed against Winterside, and I'm afraid they'll break through there unless we can get in there and stop them.
Well, it'll be the dickens to pay stopping them.
What troops can we spare?
Well, the 12th was ordered in to help the 76th, but we haven't really got any. There's the 304th. They fight like a lot of mule drivers. We can spare them best of any.
We'll get them ready. I'll send you word where to start them. It'll be about 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Not many of your mule drivers will get back.
Tom and Henry watch them ride off.
General himself. He's talking about us.
With canteens slung around their necks, they dash back to the trench.
How long does it take to get water anyhow? Where you been to? Well, speak up.
We're gonna attack.
Attack? Attack? Who said so? How do you know?
The general said so himself. We heard him. He said the enemy's forming for another charge against Winterside.
And he said they gotta be stopped. He asked the officer what troops he could spare best. He said the 304th, because we've got a...
Anyway, we'll be attacking any minute.
Attack, eh? Attack? Well, by Jiminy, this is what I call real fighting. Attack! Well, by Jiminy!
Hell, I'll be darned.
Attack? What for?
Wonder why they picked up.
Oh, the general...
All right, lieutenant, get your men set for attack. Let's see a good straight line now, man.
The general rides out of the woods into the trench. All down the line, soldiers stand at attention.
Hello, General.
We're going to give the Rebs a darn good licking today, aren't we?
General. What are you having for supper tonight?
Hardtack and sow belly, General.
I'll be around if you fix an extra plate.
Yeah, great honor, sir.
Good luck.
Thank you, General.
Thank you. As the band plays in the ridge, the general greets the next group.
At ease. Good afternoon, boys. Good
afternoon, General.
We're going to give the Rebs a good licking today, aren't we, boys?
Yeah.
What are you having for supper tonight?
Hardtack and sow belly, General.
I'll be around if you fix an extra plate.
Be a great honor, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
The next group stands at attention.
At ease, boys. At ease.
The general moves down the line.
Good afternoon, Captain.
General.
What are you having for supper tonight?
Hardtack and sow belly, sir.
Mind if I eat with you tonight?
Be a great pleasure, sir.
All right, boys. After you've licked the Rebs, we'll all have supper together.
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
The general salutes with his white-gloved hand.
Howdy, boys.
Howdy.
The general rides up to a pair of older soldiers with thick beards and shaggy hair.
Howdy, Jim.
Howdy, Corporal.
How are those wounds?
Singing some, General, but they're amended.
Fine. Anybody want a chaw?
Yeah.
The soldier bites some off, then hands it back.
You've got a hold here, Cap, Lieutenant.
Bullet holes, sir.
The general salutes.
Well, good luck, boys.
Thank you, sir.
Having supper with us tonight, General?
Go to blazes, Corporal.
He rides to the top of the ridge and gazes down at the deserted field bordered by forested hills. The general turns to an officer beside him.
Hark to the gamecocks!
Smoke from several little fires drifts over a stone wall running through the field.
Sound the attack.
The general takes off his hat and holds it over his heart and bows his head.
Thy will be done, sir.
He puts on his hat. Artillery explodes on the far side of the stone wall. In the trench, Porter bites off some chaw as a Union drummer plays. The Union soldiers climb out of the trench and form two lines that stretch across the field. Walking shoulder to shoulder, the dark uniformed troops clutch their bayoneted rifles at their hips. The blonde lieutenant leads his regiment past a tall haystack. Henry, still wearing the bandana, squints through thick smoke. Beside him, Tom's mouth falls agape. Ahead of them, artillery explodes in flashes of light and billowing white smoke. Marching in the front line, a color bearer holds aloft a U.S. flag. Suddenly, a bullet tears a hole through the cloth near the words, 304th Infantry Regiment. All around, explosions flash and thick white smoke fills the air. Marching 20 feet apart, the front and rear lines advance toward the stone wall. The troops break into a jog. A shell hits in a blast of black soil. Through the smoke, beyond the stone wall, the enemy begins to form lines. As the Union troops advance, a soldier collapses. Another soldier drops to his knees. As troops hurry past him, he searches the ground for his glasses. Finding them, he fits the wire rims around his ears, then rolls over and lies motionless. A shell hits behind the front line. Half a dozen men collapse in a hail of shrapnel and earth. Soldiers hurry from the rear line and kneel beside the fallen men. Henry stops and waves at them.
Hey, you fellas! Come on! I got a news cross in your field! What are you? Soldiers are a bunch of mule drivers! Come on!
They follow him.
Come on!
The color bearer takes a hit and collapses onto his back. Henry and Tom rush to him. Together, they pry the pole from his grip. Henry takes hold of the flag and charges. Tom ducks as an explosion sprays him with dirt. Behind them, the blonde lieutenant limps stiffly through the smoke, leading the rest of the regiment. Henry stops 100 feet from the enemy line, and Tom takes position beside him. The wounded lieutenant waves his saber, and the regiment hunkers forward under Henry's flag.
They're right on us, by Jiminy. Pull up quick and take good aim.
They fire at sword-swinging cavalrymen. The lead horseman tumbles out of his saddle and the rest charge through the regiment. Union men knock more riders from their mounts. The horsemen quickly turn and retreat. Henry squints into the heavy wind-blown dust. The men around him reload and fire at the fleeing riders. Behind the regiment, a Union officer rides in hard, waving his saber. Hunched low, they run into the smoke and confusion. To their left, more soldiers charge down a hill toward the enemy line. Henry runs with the flag. He reaches a large haystack and kneels down beside it. The regiment falls in behind him. Henry gathers his large billowing flag as the men stand up behind him and shoot. Crouched among them, a drummer plays. To Henry's left, a soldier falls. To his right, a soldier aims and fires. A second soldier collapses. In the distance, the enemy line fires through the thickening smoke. A shell explodes, igniting the haystack. Henry drags a wounded man out of the way. The lieutenant shakes his saber.
Charge! Charge! Charge!
Henry runs into the field, flying the flag. Behind him, the regiment races past the flaming haystack and charges to his side. From the stone wall, Henry kneels down. The others drop to their bellies and fire. Henry watches as enemy troops retreat from the stone wall. Henry hoists the stars and stripes and leads a charge into the smoke. The dark uniformed Union troops hop over the stone wall and chase the enemy up a hill. Confederate flag bearer leans on his flagpole and struggles up the hill on his knees. Henry walks at his side, taking slow uphill steps. A stiff breeze blows through their bullet-ripped flags. Near the top, the Confederate collapses. Henry holds his flag in one hand and takes up the Confederate's flag in his other. Holding the U.S. flag upright, Henry tilts the other flag down, letting the Confederate colors ruffle above the fallen soldier. Tom joins him and slowly gathers the Confederate flag's tattered material. Elsewhere, Union soldiers surround Confederate prisoners.
Don't take it too hard, old boy.
I wish I was dead. I just wish I was dead, that's all.
Another prisoner sits holding his bare, bloodied foot.
I run out of powder. I'd have killed another Yankee if I'd have had powder.
Lucky you weren't killed yourself.
Want a drink of water?
Not Yankee water.
It's Reb water. My canteen, but it's Reb water.
What state are you fellas from?
We all from Tennessee. How about y'all?
We're from Ohio.
I never spoke to nobody from Ohio before.
I never spoke to nobody from Tennessee. What's your name?
Lucius M. Pettigrew.
I'm Bill Porter.
Oh, Fleming, you just ought to hurry.
A soldier runs to Henry.
The colonel and the captain was talking, and the colonel says, ahem, he says. Captain Aldworth, by the way, who was the lad that carried the flag? There, Fleming, what do you think of that? Who was the lad that carried the flag, he says. And the captain speaks right up, that's Fleming. That's Fleming, and he's a Jim Hickey, he says. It happened right by us. And the colonel, he says, ahem, he is indeed. He kept the flag way to the front. I saw him, he's a good one, says the colonel. You bet, says the captain, he and a fella named Wilson. They was at the head of the charge, and howling like Indians all the time. A feller named Wilson, he said.
Oh, go to blazes, Thompson. He never said that.
He did, too. And then the colonel, he says, ahem, were they indeed? My sakes, he says, those two babies. They were, says the captain. Well, well, says the colonel. They deserve to be major generals, he says.
Oh, what a lie.
That's the truth. I heard it myself. We was there, Fleming, and it's just as Thompson told you.
Surrounded by the regiment, Henry lowers his eyes, and his uneasy smile droops to a frown. Still gripping the flag, he stands up and walks away from them. Tom walks over to Henry and sits beside him.
That old colonel's a right smart feller, Henry.
Tom, there's something I just got to get off my chest.
What's that?
Well, yesterday when things started getting hot, I was mighty scared.
We all was.
Yeah. But I lit out.
You mean you ran away, Henry?
Not very far. I only scared for a minute, you understand? Just a minute. And after that, I was that ashamed that I couldn't get back in the fight soon enough. So instead of looking for you fellas, I just threw it over on the right and went to fight. There now, I told you all there is.
I'm glad you did, Henry, because it makes me feel a sight better. See, I skedaddled myself yesterday when about half the other fellas did. Only the captain caught me and made me stay. Reckon I was more scared of him than I was of the Rebs.
I guess confessing's good for a fella, Tom. What I mean is it's good for the soul.
A soldier points to an approaching regiment.
Look! Them's our fellas!
Well, I'll be doggone.
Well, I didn't know any of our fellas was over that way.
Howdy!
Howdy, boys!
Seen any Rebs? We're hunting them.
Well, there's a whole passel of Rebs right here a minute ago. We chased them off of the wall.
Do tell.
Well, we heard you fellas shooting down this way, but we figured you were shooting at crows.
Crows, huh?
Yeah.
We was fighting a battle.
You hear that, Jake?
What was that?
Well, you darn fools, the battle was over that hill. Where we was, with Winterside.
Winterside? Who's Winterside?
Why, just the best darn general in the whole Northern Army.
Never heard of him.
As the other regiment marches over the stone wall, an officer rides up.
Go to the rear and assemble.
Fall in!
The blonde lieutenant limps to the lead.
All right! Fall
in! Using his saber as a cane, the lieutenant steps over the stone wall. Behind him, dozens of troops shoulder their rifles and march four abreast. In the middle of the pack, Henry leans his flag against his shoulder while Tom marches beside him with the Confederate flag. One soldier turns his head back and stares.
After all the trouble we went to getting that wall, I'd like to sit by it for a little while.
Is it a fact, Lieutenant? Is the credit for winning this here battle going to old what's-his-name, Winterside?
Well, it is.
Well, thunder, if I'd have known that, it wouldn't have charged nohow.
Anyway, the Rebs didn't win. That's something to be thankful for.
I'm thankful I'm all in one piece.
Me too. I got holes in my cap, holes in my pants, but there ain't no holes in me except the ones that was intended.
You know, it's mighty pretty country around here. I mean, it would be if they wasn't fighting battles all over it.
One soldier finds a wide-brimmed slouch hat and puts it on.
Sun's going down.
The days are getting shorter all the time.
Reckon we'll be home for spring planting.
Tom looks up at the trees.
Just listen to them birds.
Henry looks up. Above him, sunlight streams through leafy tree branches and filters through the rising smoke.
They don't take no time to tune up and start singing. As soon as the shooting stops and the smoke clears, they're right back at it.
He gazes skyward, grinning as he marches.
So it came to pass that as he trudged from the place of blood and wrath, his soul changed. He had been to touch the great death and found that after all, it was but the great death. Scars faded as flowers, and the youth saw that the world was a world for him. He had rid himself of the red sickness of battle. The sultry nightmare was in the past. He turned now with a lover's thirst to images of tranquil skies, fresh meadows, cool brooks, an existence of soft and eternal peace.
At a bend in the road, the regiment marches past an overturned wagon. The wagon and the soldiers become an illustration in a book. The page turns and words read, "The End, the Red Badge of Courage, made in Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer." Now, words appear under images of characters from the film. Andy Devine is the cheery soldier. Robert Easton Burke is Thompson. Douglas Dick is the lieutenant. Tim Durant is the general. Arthur Honeycutt is Bill Porter. Royal Dano is the tattered man. Words appear under an image of Jim Conklin. John Dierkes is the tall soldier. Under the image of Tom Wilson, Bill Malden is the loud soldier. Under the image of Henry Fleming, Audie Murphy as the youth. Fade to black.